there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad to be able to join you today to talk a little bit about the joy of the Lord's resurrection. You know, we are into the Easter season, and we've talked about this on the program before, that the Easter season's 50 days long. How is it possible for us to sustain that joy of the Lord's resurrection for 50 days? It becomes more difficult, doesn't it? Even if you are really into the fact that the Lord rose from the dead and you're very excited about it, as the weeks go by, you know, 50 days, it's a long time, it's more difficult to get excited. And it's more difficult to go around wishing others a happy Easter and really mean it. So, you know, look, I like to be a realist when it comes to these kinds of things. And I'm going to take it even to the next level. What about if we never felt that joy in the first place? In other words, what difference does the resurrection of Christ make to us, to you, to me? And if it doesn't make a difference, is there anything that we can do about it? You know, and I really believe that this is a conversation we need to have. Because you know why? I think it's easy for us to become guilty and to feel bad about ourselves because we're not filled with joy at the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And that maybe we're not excited about living in heaven. You know, we kind of want to go there, but we could be so focused on other things and maybe inundated with problems that it's really not that important to us. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't be important, but what happens when it isn't? What do we do? Do we just have to say, oh, well, that's the way it is? And I don't think so, because I think there is something we could do, and I feel that's what I'm supposed to talk about today. So guess what? That's what we're going to talk about. Hope you can settle in. Hope you can relax. Hope you got a beverage and a snack, and you're ready to get started. Let's pray. And then we'll get into it more deeply. Today we're going to talk to our Father in heaven. We're going to ask for the grace that we need to hear his message. And I'm going to ask for the grace that I need to be able to deliver that message. Okay, so let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being here for us today. Father, you are so good to us. You have sustained us from the very moment that we were conceived right up until the present. And because of that, Father, we know that you love us. We know that we believe that you'll care for us into the future, just as you have cared for us every day from the moment we were conceived. Father, we know that you hear us. We know that you can see us. We know that you are all-powerful. Father, you created the universe, the entire universe, out of nothing. You created us out of nothing. There is no problem, no challenge that we can ever present to you that's too difficult for you to solve. Father, nothing catches you by surprise. Even when we don't cooperate with you, even when we turn our back on you by committing sin, or even if other people commit sin against us, get in our way, cause us to have setbacks, even any of that can't stop your ultimate plans from coming about. Because nothing catches you by surprise, and nothing is too big of a challenge for you to overcome. And Father, it's important, I think, for us to remember that today, because there are certainly things in life that seem overwhelming, challenging, insurmountable. There are problems we are looking at right now that cause us to worry, that cause us to feel hopeless, that cause us to almost fall into despair, maybe even fall into despair. But that shouldn't be, Father, because you can handle these things. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into our world We thank you for his redeeming us on the cross. We thank you for the fact that he rose from the dead and defeated death. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to approach you and to ask you for what we need. And I do that now, Father. I give you all of our intentions, whatever they may be. Please give us this day, Father, our daily bread. Help us. Fill us with your supernatural peace. Allow us to see you, even in the midst of our problems. Allow us to be confident in your ability to solve our problems. And Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument this day. Please give me the words for this program. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Father God, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I really do appreciate you spending some time with me around the table. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. It's a Thursday, April the 15th, to be exact. And I wanted to call your attention to a couple pieces of information. Anyway, today's show, we're going to talk about maintaining or discovering the joy of the risen Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. What difference does it make in our lives? Or why are we unable to sustain our joy? You know, that's the question we're going to tackle on the program today. A couple of things I want to call your attention to. The first one, I've been speaking for the past few days about my participation in this virtual conference that's taking place this weekend. It's a Listening for God conference sponsored by Teresa Tomeo and some other folks. And I was confused as to, I had already done the video for them. My video is on give up worry for good. How do we give up worry for good? How do we listen to God speaking to us and assist us with giving up worry? I sent the video in. I did a relatively short video, 15-minute talk, and I think it was unique. I think it was something that will be very helpful. But I was told that my video is going to be an on-demand presentation during the conference. And I asked the question. I was a little confused about how this is going to work with all these numerous speakers. And mine is supposedly going to be an on-demand one, meaning you can seek it out and you can play it at any time during the conference. And I asked the question, what about if someone registers for free? Because I know they have upgraded registrations. And from what I understand, and again, I'm still a little unclear about how this works, during the days of the conference, April the 16th through the 18th, you'll be able to to look at any of the on-demand videos with your free registration. So you can watch the live stream keynote ones and you can see the on-demand ones as well. That's what I've been told. Now today, I got a request from one of the people who's running the conference, and they said they were having trouble accessing the video, the format that I sent it in, and they're going to try to convert it, or somebody's going to try to convert it. I wasn't unable to do what they needed. So let's hope and pray that my presentation will be available. If not, I wanted to let you know that now, because it would be due to technical issues if there's a problem. If for some reason we can't get this together, I'm going to make it a point to make that talk available, or give another talk of that kind, and make it available so you will be able to see it. But stay tuned. I'll keep you posted on it. The other thing I want to let you know is tomorrow, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to be on Relevant Radio talking a little bit more about what we are talking about right now. So if you want to hear a little bit more and maybe a dialogue about today's topic. How do you maintain your joy during the entire Easter season? Check out Morning Air on Relevant Radio tomorrow, Friday, April the 16th at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. All right. And for more information about my work or to pick up a copy of my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good, or sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the place to go is followingthetruth.com. I also finally wanted to mention again, if you would like to bring me out to speak at your church or your conference, just go to followingthetruth.com and contact me through the website or email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com, and we can schedule something. I'm beginning to schedule talks for late 2021 and all of 2022. So now that things are opening up again, I would love to set something up to come to you to speak at your church or your conference. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's talk about, you know, one of the things I always try to do throughout, however I'm reaching out to you on this program, in my email reflection, in my books, when I do radio interviews, I always try to keep my message as relevant and as real as possible. Because I think far too often we hear a message of, well, if you just pray about your problems, God will give you his peace and everything will be fine. And that's true. I do believe that. But one of the things that I have learned, and I want to share this with you, is that sometimes it takes a little time. And then also there are occasions where you're doing better than you think you are. You know, I used to have a boss when I worked in the software industry for 30 years prior to going into ministry. I know, crazy transition, right? But that's, hey, when the Lord calls, you know. but I had a boss, his name was Harry. And he was funny because there would be times when I was struggling with the project that I was working on, and I'd go in to see my boss, and I wanted to let him know, number one, I was seeking some help, and number two, I just wanted to let him know that I was struggling and, you know, things weren't going smoothly. I wanted to give him a heads up. I was always told that you let your boss know ahead of time if there could be problems rather than let them be surprised. No boss likes to be surprised. So I'd go into Harry, and he was a good guy. I really liked him. And I'd say, hey, Harry, it's not working out. I'm struggling with this problem. And I would tell him, and it seemed like no matter what I brought to him, he would always say, oh, you're doing better than you think you are. You're doing good. Keep up the good work. And I'd walk out of the office and I'd say, wait a minute. This guy didn't help me at all. He didn't give me anything. He just sort of gave me a pat on the back saying, all right, you're doing okay. But I didn't think I was doing okay, but somehow it would work out in the end. You know what I mean? So here's what I want to do for you today. I want to be that person to you today and say, if you're seeking to find Jesus or to stop worrying or to maintain your joy during the Easter season, I think the mere fact that you care enough to try to do that, or maybe to be concerned that it's not happening, is good. And I would hope that with what I say today, that you might take a look at what you're going through and you might conclude that maybe you are doing okay. And to assure you that the feelings you may experience or the lack of feelings shouldn't get you down. Because feelings are not facts. And I think we need to always keep that in mind, especially when it comes to the spiritual life. You can be right in the middle of God's will, doing exactly what he wants you to do. He can be present, very close to you in your life, but you may not feel him at all. And he allows that to happen sometimes. So I would encourage you not to get upset about the feelings or to not get impatient that you're not making enough progress, or if you're somebody who tends to worry, that you're still worrying even though you think you should not, because you're trying to follow Jesus. And you hear me say this often, this is a process. So with that in mind, let's look at this whole Easter thing. So this Sunday will be the third Sunday of Easter. The Easter season lasts for 50 days after Easter Sunday. It's a long time. And you know, if you were really into Lent and you were really trying to connect with Jesus during Lent, there's a good chance that when Easter Sunday rolled around, you were excited and you were able to rejoice because the Lord has risen, or the Lord is risen. Like, once he rises, he's not going to go back down again. He is risen. He is here. He's with us. But as the days go by, it becomes more and more difficult to sustain that joy and to wake up every day and say, yes, he is still risen. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I'm saying sometimes it happens that we lose that joy. So what do we do? Is that just the way it is? And I don't think that that's it at all. I don't think we have to be content and say, well, that's just the way it is. I think there is something we can do. But first, before we talk about sustaining the joy or maintaining it, whatever you want to call it, what about if the joy is not there in the first place? What if you wake up on Easter Sunday, and what if you woke up on Easter Sunday and said, I know Jesus rose from the dead. I know I'm supposed to be excited about this, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm not filled with joy. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. And I think somebody's got to address this. You hear a lot of people talking about the joy we're supposed to have, but what happens when you don't feel it and you're trying? I mean, yes, you can be doing nothing like I was for many years, just being completely lukewarm, going through the motions, checking the box. And the resurrection of Christ really did mean nothing to me. Well, that's because I wasn't even trying. I didn't even care. But what about if you are trying and you still don't feel the joy? What's going on there? Well, one thing I would say is problems have a way, and circumstances have a way, of just sucking the joy out of us. And if you are not careful, I think there's something we can do about it. But if you're not careful, you can let the world steal your joy. The world likes to steal your joy, whether it's watching the news or going on the internet and seeing all the fighting and the events taking place, all the negativity and the hatred and the gloom and doom. And it's very easy to become discouraged and to lose your joy. And I think it's important for us as Christians to shift our focus and to focus more on the invisible kingdom of God and the truth contained through the life of Jesus Christ than to focus on the world and the problems we face. Because the more we concentrate on what's going on in the world, the negative stuff that's going on in the world and in our own lives, the more discouraged we are going to be. It just happens that way. If you fill your head with negative stuff, and that's all you watch on TV, and that's all you listen to, and that's all you focus on, then you're going to feel pretty lousy. But on the other hand, if you focus on the truth that Jesus did enter the world 2,000 years ago, that he did teach us, that he did start a church, and that he did suffer and die on the cross for our sins. Now, we may not fully understand why he had to do that, but all of us can understand the fact that he did have to do that, because otherwise it was not possible for us to get to heaven due to sin. Again, you don't have to understand why it was necessary for him to suffer so excruciatingly on the cross, because that's hard to understand. Like, okay, so sin, and you know, one of the things, and we talked about this on the program before, a day or so ago, that because of sin, that's how bad sin was. Christ had to be on that cross. But you might not understand, like, well, what's the connection? He had to be on that cross. Like, couldn't he have redeemed us in some other way? He could have. But that's just the way it was. Both to let us know how much he loves us and to let us know how serious sin is. That's why God the Father chose that approach to redeem us. But you might not understand the mechanics of why it was necessary for him to go through that, but you can understand a simple fact. I mean, you don't have to feel it, but you can understand that it was necessary to repair the damage done by sin and to open up the gates of heaven. So that being the case, if we look at the fact that you and I belonged on that cross, and we weren't forced to do that, and Jesus took our place, then we begin to appreciate his sacrifice for us. Now, what about him rising from the dead? Well, when he rose from the dead, he proved that he was bigger than even death. Now, let me just explain that for a little bit. And we, in that action, we then realize and understand that we will one day be able to rise bodily at the Lord's second coming, to rise from the dead, and our body unites with our soul, and our glorified body will live forever, hopefully in heaven. I mean, that's the plan. Why is it a big deal that he rose from the dead? Well, for one thing, he said that's what he would do. And if anything proves his divinity, it's the fact that he rose from the dead. Because nobody has ever done that before. Nobody's ever said, I am the Messiah, and I will rise from the dead. If he didn't do it, then it would kill his credibility. But the fact that he did do it should fill us with joy, because not only are we now able to live with him forever in heaven, which is, I think, a thing that many of us can't appreciate. It sounds good and it is good. But if you're staring at an empty bank account and you're filled with COVID-related anxiety, or anxiety about your job being in jeopardy, or anxiety about physical health conditions, it's hard to appreciate the fact that you can live forever in heaven. Sometimes we all need something here and now. But the fact that Jesus did follow through on what he said he would do, all of a sudden gives a whole new light and meaning to all of his words. So when he says now, knowing that he rose from the dead, when we look at the fact that he said, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest, all of a sudden that promise becomes a given. I can count on that. When Jesus says, do not worry, trust that your Father will provide you what you need, this is the guy who rose from the dead. He's bigger than death. Now I know that I can listen to him. You see what I mean? So the fact that he rose from the dead now gives me a chance in this life to rejoice and to understand that I can overcome worry with his help, that I can receive his supernatural peace that he wants to give me, that I can run to him when I need help, when I'm weary and burdened, and he will give me rest. I mean, this is the man who rose from the dead. So he proved his love for me. He proved his power. And now when I go back and look at everything he said and did, how he calmed the storm at sea, multiple storms at sea, how he healed the people who were sick, how he raised Lazarus from the dead, then I begin to look at all of these things in light of the resurrection a lot differently. And it becomes obvious to me that he can resurrect me from my discouragement, from my despondency, whatever I'm going through. He can allow me to experience peace even in the midst of my illness. The fact that he rose from the dead really did change everything. Now, how do we sustain that? I think we sustain it by thinking about it. by reading about it, by following along with the daily mass readings. And that's one of the reasons I try to highlight them whenever possible. Sometimes I go off in a little bit of a different direction on this program, but that's one of the reasons I like to look at the first reading from daily mass, which is the Acts of the Apostles throughout the Easter season. And we start to see all these amazing things that took place in the early church when the power of the Holy Spirit was really evident. Why can't that be the same way today? I think it can, but it depends on us to take seriously the power of the Holy Spirit and to give the Holy Spirit permission to work in our lives. And as far as the Gospels go, a lot of these Gospels that we will read throughout the Easter season highlight the importance of the resurrection of Jesus and give us a reason to be hopeful. So there's something we need to do in order to sustain that joy in the resurrection of Jesus. And I think a lot of it starts by getting to know him and talking to him and saying, okay, Jesus, you know, be honest with him. Hey, I'm not feeling it today, Jesus. And as we put our focus more on him and less on our problems, and the fact that he's resurrected means that he's alive and he's walking with us. And as I walk with him, literally, because he's with me, he is alive, then I begin to experience his peace. You know, had he not resurrected from the dead, he would not be alive, and he wouldn't be able to walk with me, and he wouldn't be able to say, peace be with you, Gary, today. So the fact that he is alive does make a difference. And I think it's important for us to keep that in mind every day, to keep focused on him. And I'm going to try to do my best throughout the Easter season to sustain you, to help you to really appreciate the importance of the risen Christ to each of our lives. It really does matter. And not just when we die, but it matters now. I'm going to try to keep the focus on that. So stay with Jesus, keep asking him, and keep focused on the fact that he did rise from the dead and he's with you. Okay, I got to run. Thanks for listening. I hope to be back with you here tomorrow, right here on Following the Truth. Have a great night. God bless.